right, good morning. How's everyone doing today? You guys doing good? We got the kids up here this morning, so that's awesome. We're going to go ahead and get started with worship. If everyone from the cafe would head over here, we're going to go ahead and get started. So if you guys would stand up. David.
Hey.
What's up? How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
You doing good? What do you call a fake noodle?
I have no clue.
An impasta. All right, we're going to do another song, so here we go. Go ahead and clap with us.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Kids are going to be dismissed. They're all going to go out that door and downstairs, and we're going to go ahead and start announcements. So if you guys would shake the hands of the person next to you, and we'll get started.
Right there's that spot. If you get in that spot right there, it screams at you. Cheryl's got a spot like that at the house. If I sit in her place on the sofa, I get about the same results. She kind of like Sheldon. That's her spot on the couch right there. If you go sit on it, it fits her, but it don't fit me. I don't know. My name is Randy. I'm glad everybody's here this morning, and I'm glad you didn't go downstairs because you could not be any taller than that to go downstairs, all right? So we have a great time. We have several announcements for you this morning, so if you pull that out, we're not going to read them all, but I want to bring some attention. This Sunday is the summation of the series for the month of January about membership. So you were giving a trifold, so be looking at that and be in prayer about that during the service. Because this is today you have the opportunity to join the family at Cornerstone and actually be a member. And Mike will be going over some more of that. So if you have any questions, just kind of wait for him to go through all this stuff. We do have a new Wi-Fi network. If you're one of those people who follow along with scriptures and things online, it's not password protected, so you can get onto it very easily. We have a Discover Cornerstone lunch, and we're also going to be having a membership class every other month here at Cornerstone. So if you have questions about Cornerstone and what is the church theology, what they believe in, what the vision is for the ministry in Christ and things like that, you can come to this and attend and find more about that. The other weeks there'll be a membership where you can come and go through the class to answer some more details about being a part and being a member of the body of Christ with the church here. This Wednesday is our community meal. I would encourage you to come to that, participate, be in part of it, volunteer if you'd like. If you'd like to bring some things, you can go over to the kiosk centers. There's one at the resource table, one at the door. Someone will be there to help you. You can sign up and tell what you'd like to bring and be a part of all of that. If you are a children's worker or a volunteer with that, there's going to be a luncheon, so there's food involved. So go ahead and read more details about that. The next date for the clothing closet will be February the 7th. If you have a passion to help with that, to give a ministry to people who are coming in who have needs for clothing, coats, things like that, contact us and be a part of that to help distribute and kind of meet with some of the families and see how we might be able to help them as a church and as a family of Christ. If you've been thinking about so you want to do something and maybe a mission or something, Maybe you want to go abroad and go away. We have a trip coming up to Nicaragua in the summertime. Read more of the details about that and just be in deep prayer. If that's something for you or something you'd like to do, contact us and get more details about that. Also, next weekend is a big football Sunday. We have a celebration here. We'll come in and we'll watch the game on the big screen. There'll be lots of food to eat back in the back. And we're going to have a halftime show here. Mike's got a video that's really good about it, because you just never can tell what you're going to get on television. So we have one that we know what you're going to get. It's appropriate for everybody and kind of falls better in line with what we believe in. So what we're going to do, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to have a short video and a little bit about the big game next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here together to be in fellowship with one another, to get plugged in, to get strengthened, and to help with those needs of ours in our heart. You know in each one of us what we need. Let the message come to us today, apply it to our lives, and we can go out and be better citizens, better Christians, and be ready to help others in need. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
If you guys would stand up, and we're going to continue in worship.
I am guilty ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You pay my cost, you ride my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life.
innocence of a robe. My sin washed away in your blood. Too much to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you've died in my place. So my soul will live. Oh, to be like you. Give all I have just to know you. And Jesus, there's no one besides you. Forever the hope in my heart. Is your sting? Your power is as dead as my sin. The cross has taught me to live. Piercing my heart, now I sing. The day and its troubles shall come. I know that you. So much for the opportunity to come in your house, Lord, and worship and fellowship with our brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you just help us to have open hearts and open minds during the service, Lord. I pray that you just have us hear what you want us to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Randy Kegley, and this is not Deja Vu. I have been known to forget things from time to time. On the back of the announcement sheets is the life groups. I wanted you to take a moment just to look at that. Life groups is a way for us to more deeply connect with people inside of Cornerstone, inside the church, and inside the fellowship of Christ. I'd like for you to take a look at that. There are a number. There's 11 different life groups going on. You should be able to find one that kind of fits your time frame and your schedule. And the studies in which you may be interested in. And I would really encourage you to be in thoughtful prayer about this, that you can find something to be a part of. Because this helps you get together in a smaller group where you can have open discussion. Because sometimes you may have questions, and nobody wants to raise your hand and ask questions with 100, 150 people in here. But it's not so bad if there's about 8 to 10 of you. You can ask questions and stuff. So be in thoughtful prayer about that and see if this is something for you. Also, Terry has told me that on Tuesday night, that his class, that he's got some openings. They've got some more room. They'd like for you to look at that. So take a look there at number 8 and see if that would fit into it. And I thank you for listening.
When you hear the word home, what comes to your mind? What do you think about? Do you think walls? Do you think doors? Do you think carpeting, chairs, a roof? Do you think condo, pool in the backyard, that kind of stuff? Or maybe when you heard the word home, you thought of things like family. You thought of your wife, your husband, your kids. You thought of your mom and dad, and the talks you had around the kitchen table. You thought of the meals and the conversation and the laughs. You thought of the tears and the hard days, as well as the good. You thought of the people, not the stuff. You thought of the love, not the walls. You thought of the dreams and support, not the bricks. That's really what home means to us, isn't it? It's not about some structure. It's about the people. It's about the family. It's about love. So, hey, question time. Think about your church. Is this church your home? Is this church to you just bricks and walls and chairs and songs and sermons? Or is it your home? Is this the place where you come every week like you would a grocery store, like the bank or the library, or any other place that's part of the Aaron List? Or is this church your home? For you, it's the place you come to worship Jesus Christ with others. For you, it's the place you're challenged to grow in the Lord. It's the place where you belong to a community of believers who know your name and who care for you. It's the place where you roll up your sleeves and do your part. It's the place you sacrifice and serve in to build up. It's the place you pour out love. It's your family. It's your home.
So welcome to Cornerstone. Guys are just great. It's good to have you, everyone, here today. We're finishing up this series called You Belong Here. And this has been a little bit of a different kind of a series from normal. Actually, next week we're jumping back in and we're going to do a study through the book of Mark, through the Gospel of Mark. And I'm excited about that. We're going to spend quite a few weeks going through that. But this has been a little bit of a different kind of series because we've stopped to talk about why the church exists. Why are we here? What's our purpose? And what is your role in the body of Christ? And we're talking about membership because it's something new that we're starting here at Cornerstone. And so this morning you get to hear a little bit more about our heart, about our passion, about our vision for Cornerstone, for how you can join in and be part of that. And so this morning is really kind of a special Sunday. So I'm glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, it is a little bit different from normal just because of the topic. But you are welcome here, and I hope that you are encouraged by God's Word here in this place this morning. We live in a society, I think you would agree with me, that a society that's afraid of commitment, right? I mean, people are scared to commit. Everyone likes to keep their options open. We see it in marriage. We see it in dating. We see it in church. And this fear of commitment sometimes keeps us from taking the steps that we need to connect with other people in our life. And so at church, what we want to talk about this morning, if you look in your worship guide, there's a place you can take some notes. And we're talking about how we can support the testimony of our church. And what is a testimony? If I had to stop and ask you, what is a testimony? And if I say that word, immediately you start thinking about legal terms, right? You give a public statement. You give a declaration. You establish a fact. And if someone's called up to a witness stand, they're a witness, what do? They testify to what they've seen and they've heard. They talk about a certain event they've seen. And so all of these are kind of legal terms that get us thinking about what we've experienced. And so when I talk about us having a testimony, here's what I want you to realize. Every person in this building has a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. Sometimes it's by the things you say. Sometimes, and most of the time, it's by the things you do. So we all have a testimony. And we all, at times, are called to be a witness for Christ. And it's not like you're called to be up in be cross-examined on a witness stand. But all of us are called to be a witness for Christ. And at those times, when we're put on the spot, do we testify to what we've seen and heard? Do we talk about the experiences we've had with Christ? Or like Peter, do we act like we don't even know Jesus? Let me just ask you this question as we kick off this morning. if you were put on a witness stand, would there be, to defend yourself, would there be enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? Just let that soak in for a minute. Would there be enough evidence to convict you as a Christian if people were to look at your life? They were able to ask questions. If they were able to talk to you, would they be able to tell you are a Christian? In the early church, one of my favorite passages is in Acts chapter 4. And in it, we see really some of the early the disciples, they were put on the witness stand, so to speak. And they had to support the testimony of Christ in their life. And this is what the jury or the council asked. They said, "What should we do with these men? We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everyone in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further." First, you know, that word propaganda. I mean, even in the early church, it seemed like society thought they were just trying to push something off on them. Propaganda. What this message? And sometimes the message of Christ, hear me on this, it's not accepted in our society today. And you're going to be accused of spreading propaganda. You're going to be accused of proselytizing. You're going to be accused of trying to push your faith on others, sometimes just when you stand up for Jesus Christ. But in this instance, it said, to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So how do you think this is going to go? They called the apostles back in. They commanded them never to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." I love that verse. We cannot stop talking. We can't stop telling everyone we come into contact about what we have seen and heard. Verse 21, it says the council threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they just didn't even know what to do with them. They didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God. A worship service broke out because of this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. And so we see in this early church that they were connected. And when news spread, when this news spread about Peter and John being released, and man, they just started worshiping. They just started praising God, and they just could not stop talking about what they had seen and heard. And I just want you to think about your life. Does that describe you? And so many people, when they come to Christ and they put their faith and trust in Jesus, they're born again, they're saved, and they are excited. They are on fire, and they are telling everybody, "You won't believe what happened to me." And they just start, I mean, it just comes out naturally. And you're just telling everybody you see, "Man, let me tell you about this Jesus, because he has changed my life." And when you're around somebody like that, it's contagious, isn't it? I mean, it gets you excited to see somebody that cares so much about their Savior that they just can't shut up. They're just talking everywhere they go. And here's what I want you to think about a little bit. If we're talking about the testimony of our life, there's also a testimony of this church. And the testimony of this church is based on the witness of the people in this church. And so when this community looks at us, do they see a group of people who are committed to Christ, who are excited, who are passionate, who are on fire, who are serving and who are talking and who will not shut up about Jesus Christ? That's the church that we're called to be. We're called to love this city, to love this community, to love this world, and to take a message of hope into it. And it starts when we get serious about being a witness for Christ. Now, during this series, I mentioned this is a little bit different because we've been talking about how you can belong here. This can be your home. This can be the place where you fit in and you find your place to plug in and to serve and to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And I know we're starting something new about membership, and you got a brochure when you came in this morning that describes it a little bit more. And I just want to stop before I jump in and get to the main text this morning, and before I really start preaching, I want to take a minute and say, why are we even doing this? Why are we even doing something like membership? Why is it important? It's really, I could sum up everything in really in really two words, commitment and accountability. It's about being, about taking a step to be more committed, and it's about accountability, and accountability goes both ways. And so for us, I kind of wanted to explain a little bit about why we're doing it, and on the screen you'll see eight reasons why church membership can make a difference. The first is that it's your public commitment to a particular group of believers. As you look through the New Testament, what you see a group of letters that were written by Paul, the epistles of Paul. And they were written to different churches. And so you see Colossians and Galatians and Corinthians and Thessalonians. And all of those letters were written to a group of believers in a particular city that were joined together as part of a local church. And at Paul, you know, and that's why when he instructs Timothy, you know, make sure you have elders appointed in every city. And he lays out a structure for the local church government with elders and with deacons in Acts 6. And we see kind of a structure of the church that kind of forms up. And the reason why is because when believers come together, they form the local church. There's a commitment there. There's a connection there. And so what church membership does, it confirms that there's a commitment to a particular group of believers. The second thing it does, it allows church leaders to fulfill their task of shepherding those who have joined the church. And I've shared a little bit over these past few weeks about how we as elders take our role seriously to shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to our care. And that's a serious passage for leaders. That's one that keeps you awake at night, because you, in a church this size, last week we had right at 300 people here in attendance. That's a lot of people. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you were to ask me to name all 300 people, I don't know all of you guys. Right? It's tough. And as the church has grown, we've got a couple of choices here. Do we just stand back and say, hey, you guys, we're glad you're here, but you're on your own? You know? Here's a message, learn from it, put it into practice, but good luck with that. That's what happens to a lot of large churches, right? Because there's not that personal connection. Everybody doesn't know everybody. The leaders don't know everybody. And so you have a structure in place that makes it really hard to connect, and people fall through the cracks, and people feel disconnected, and we don't want that at Cornerstone. And so membership gives us a structure, gives us a system to help get you guys connected to different leaders in our church so we can provide care and support and encouragement and coaching and mentoring and discipling to everyone in the church. And so that it really does help us shepherd those in the church. Number three is it defines and builds the team that's ready to do the work of the church. Members are saying, here I am, I'm part of the body, use me for God's glory. And so they're saying, hey, that's our team. If you're getting ready to go into a football game, you want to know who your team is. And we've got a battle taking place here. And we're facing a lot of you know, you look at this world we live in, it's a mean, it's rough, it's a crazy world we live in. Well, who's on our team? And fourth, it offers a support system when believers are tempted or struggling. Just if you think about that a little bit, I think we all would be able to look at a time in our life and say, man, I needed somebody. I needed to know who I could pick up the phone and call. Has there been a time in your life when you needed help, you needed encouragement, you needed prayer? And for many of you in this room, you're already connected enough to know there's somebody in my life. There's a believer in my life. There's a Christian friend, a brother, a sister in Christ that I can call at any time, and they're there for me. And if you've got someone like that in your life, that's awesome. But there's a lot of people I also know in this room that don't have someone like that. That they just aren't connected, and they don't know. And if something were to happen in your life, you don't even know who to call or what to do next. And so membership helps get a process in place to deal with things like that. It provides opportunities for spiritual growth under the guidance and accountability of other church members. And so you're growing in community. Truth taught in the context of relationships changes lives. And we've seen that time and time again. And so when we come together as believers, what we see is that truth, we learn together, and it's through our life groups, it's through serving together, it's through hanging out together, but we see spiritual growth happen. And it challenges believers to use their God-given spiritual gifts. Every single one of you has a gift. That's what we talked about last week. And so are you using it for the glory of God and for the good of others? That's what a spiritual gift is meant for. You weren't given a gift. It's just like a bodybuilder. I mean, I used to work for Nautilus, and I was around all these people lifting weights and you know, going to fitness shows, and it's a crazy, crazy messed up kind of thing when you go to a fitness show and you see all these people. And you see all these people just are huge, and they're just flexing all the time. And here's my question. Why do they have those big muscles? Did they ever, so I can look good in the mirror. You know, I mean, why do you have spiritual gifts? Is it so you can just look at yourself and say, hey, I'm gifted. I'm God's gift. You know, no. Why do you have the spiritual gift? It's for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And so that's why we find our place to use our gifts. The other is 7. It grants believers permission to offer input and direction for a local church body. And so when we know who's committed, it gives you a voice. It gives you a chance to speak. It shows that you're committed to this church, and we're committed to you, and we want to listen. And we want you to have a voice, and God can speak through you just as much as He can speak through the leadership of this church. And 8 is it provides a family in a rapidly changing society. We live in a world, I know you would agree with me, that one of the most sad, tragic things in our world today is the breakdown of the family. The breakdown of the family. There's so many people that just don't have that extended family. They don't have grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins and brothers and sisters and even moms and dads that are connected to each other. And they just don't have a family. People are isolated. And so when you come and you become part of a church like this, it's not just signing up for perks and you know, membership benefits. No, it's nothing like that at all. You're becoming part of a family. You're gaining brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so what it does, it provides that type of family and support. And so here are reasons why we're doing church membership. Now, if I were to answer some of the maybe potential questions you have, I think one of the questions is, okay, well, what if I'm not ready or I'm not sure about this membership thing? Am I still welcome here? Absolutely, right? It doesn't change what we're called to do. We want you here, and we want to reach out to you. We want you to invite your friends and family, and we want you to continue reaching out. This is just for some people who are wanting to take the next step. And we know and we understand that not everyone is ready to do that. And so what we do, we have a couple options. One, we have a Discover Cornerstone class, and it's actually today after this service for people who have some questions maybe about or want to know, want to get connected, and don't know where to start or just not sure, and they want to learn a little bit more about the church and our beliefs and our background. We'll do that every other month. Today, at the end of the service, you'll have a chance to become a member of Cornerstone. But if you're not ready, we're going to have a membership class next month at a place where you can come and ask questions and learn, and we'll have those every other month. So what we see, we're creating a process here for you to learn more about us and to get connected. And I want you to understand that one of the reasons we're doing it, we really believe that church membership is a gift. It's a gift that's been given to us by God. Romans 6:23 is a passage that should wake all of us up, right? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we look at that verse, the couple of things that immediately come to mind. One is that we deserve death. We have sinned. We have disobeyed God. We are separated from Him because of our sin. And our punishment, God's wrath is upon us. Our punishment is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Why? Because Jesus Christ came and died on a cross to pay our penalty. And so we see right there that we have been given a gift. In Acts 3:19, it says, now here's what you need to do. Repent of your sins, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. And we see this transformation, this change. This repent means to turn and to change direction, to turn from your sin, to turn towards God. And turn to God so your sins may be wiped out. Ephesians 2:8 says this, that God saved you by His grace. You did not deserve it. You didn't earn it. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation's not a reward for the good things that you have done, so none of us can boast about it. And so throughout the Bible, we see verse after verse that speaks about this gift of salvation. It's a gift that we cannot earn. It's a gift that we cannot buy. It's a gift that we cannot sign up for. It's a gift that has been given freely by God because Jesus Christ loves us. And when we just think about that, we've been given a gift. Why we've been given that gift, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us a little bit. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are part of the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ." When we put our faith, when we repent, when we believe, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of it. And God has placed you in a church. When we talk about membership, the whole reason it's called membership is you are a member of a body. You are a member of a body. Each one of you is a member of the body. Each one of you has a role. Each one of you has a purpose. And so when we come together, our goal is to help you discover who God has created you to be. What are your gifts? What are your abilities? What is your role in this body? You are a member of it. And God has a plan and He has a purpose for you. We join together. We each play a role so that we can share this gift that we've been given, this gift with others. And so it's such a privilege and it's a gift that we have to serve God. Now I want to get on a soapbox here for a minute, okay? I just, if that's all right with everyone. Because I hear something from time to time that just burns me up. I'm just going to be honest. And what it is people say, "Well, I guess I have to go to church today." You ever heard something? "I have to go, I guess I have to go help in children's ministry, or I have to go to the meeting, or I have to go serve at the community meal, or I have to. Have you ever heard people talk about church like that? That it's something you have to do. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not something you have to do, it's something that you get to do. It is an honor, it is a privilege. And when you receive a gift that is extravagant, when you receive something that is so incredible that you can't even describe it, what happens is you don't say, "Oh, I guess I have to go thank that person for that gift." I mean, do you ever respond that way? No, you say, "Oh my goodness, this is awesome." And you go and you tell that person, "Hey man, I'm so thankful. What can I do for you? That was just, I can't believe you were that generous." When we receive God's grace, listen to me here. Do we respond with, "Well, I guess I got to go thank God now. Let me go to church"? No. We should be excited about it. It should bring us joy. It's a privilege to be able to do anything for God. It's a privilege that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you while you were still a sinner. We have an honor, we have a privilege, and you get to do something for God. And when you become part of the body of Christ, it is awesome because it's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. So I don't want to hear, "I have to do that. I have to go do that." No, it's something you get to do. And it's something that it's an honor to do when you serve God. So I just want to challenge you. And when we start thinking about the gift of God that way, when we start thinking about it, it's not about us. It's about expressing gratitude for God for what He's done for us. And so everything we do brings honor. It brings glory. It lifts up the name of Jesus. It doesn't lift us up. It doesn't lift me up. It doesn't lift Cornerstone up. It lifts up Jesus. So I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this passage to me really talks about why we have membership and what membership is and what it does. And in light of everything I've already said, hopefully you see that it is a privilege to be part of a body of Christ. And Paul says here, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, "He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles," and that includes us, "we are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are what? Members of God's family. Together we are His house, And what are we built on? We're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the cornerstone. Get this. The cornerstone is not this building. The cornerstone is not our praise music, which is awesome. Cornerstone is not my preaching, well, which is not so awesome sometimes. The cornerstone, what's the corner? It is Jesus Christ. That's what we're built on. It's all about Jesus. We are joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by Spirit. Is Cornerstone a holy temple where the presence of God lives and dwells and works among us? Amen. I mean, He does. He works here. And we see the miracles of God. And we see the glory of God. We see time and time again lives changed by the power of God. And if you look at Ephesians 2, and kind of back up just a little bit, let me give you the background. Let me give you the context. Paul reminds the believers that at one time, you were far away from God. You were a sinner. You were disobedient. You were subject to God's anger. You were without hope. You were without God in the world. You had no access to God. You were messed up. You were in trouble. But when Jesus appeared, everything changed. Because He made a way that you could be reconciled to God. And because we've been delivered from God's wrath, because of that, we now have fellowship with other believers. We are now part of God's universal church family. We're part of His big family. And not just that, but we're also connected in local churches so that we can serve God together. And so throughout this series, we've been talking about our responsibilities. And each week we've talked about maybe a different aspect of our church covenant. And this morning, I just kind of want to wrap things up with just looking at the fourth and final thing as we look at our responsibilities, our commitment, our covenant, our promise, all those things wrapped up. And it's simply that I will support the testimony of my church. And how do we do this? There's three ways. The first way that we're asking you to get serious about, one is by attending faithfully. By attending faithfully. Your attendance is a testimony to the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ has saved you and that you have been changed and that you are connected to a local body of believers. I believe so much in the local church and what God has called us to do, that when each of us finds our place in a body of believers like this, that we can do more together than we could ever do alone. And so I don't agree with those who say, you know what? You know, I can worship God in my own way. I can worship God. I can worship God in nature. Yeah, you can. And guess what? You got 6 days and 23 other hours you can do it during the week instead of Sunday morning during church. Or you say, well, you know, I worship God together as my family. Again, yes, we worship together as family, but there is something special that takes place where we come together and we find our place in the body of Christ. And it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to lose focus. It's so easy to get out of the habit of going to church. And so, you know, you kind of miss the first week, and maybe you've had a busy week or a tough week, and you decide to sleep in, and you say, oh, man, we should have gone to church this morning, but it was nice sleeping in. We'll go back next week. And then guess what happens the next week? The next week, you know, something comes up, and you say, yeah, we'll just kind of, it's all right, we'll just miss church this week. And so you decide to skip out. Then the third week, the fourth week, it's so easy, I think. Getting out of the habit of going to church is one of the easiest things to slip into. Because we all live busy lives. We're afraid of commitment sometimes. And we're all just, if we're completely honest, right? And this hurts to say, but everybody is selfish. We're selfish with our time. We're selfish, you know, it takes a little bit of effort, maybe, especially if you've got kids, to get the kids ready and everybody's fussing, trying to get the clothes on, hair done, get everybody to church. I know it's not always easy, but here's what I do know. And as I've seen God bless me, I've seen Him bless my family because we have been committed to being in God's house. It doesn't matter if we're on vacation. It doesn't matter if we're here. We want to connect with other believers. And so I just want to challenge you. And I know there's sports and there's activities and there's all sorts of events and traveling, and there will be times where you may not be able to be here, but look for an opportunity to connect with believers wherever you're at. And really, our attendance shows our commitment, but it also shows our priorities in life. And I'm just telling you, I mean, we live in a society where church has become optional. Church has become this thing, well, I'll go if I can. If it fits my schedule, if it fits my, you know, my calendar, I'll pencil it in just in case I can go. That's not what church is. It's a place where we're committed. So I want to just challenge you. What are you modeling for your kids? What are you modeling for the people around you? Are you showing them that church is important? And just kind of on that same note, you look at statistics and see how many kids don't stay in church after they graduate. You know, if they've learned their whole life that church is optional and you just do it if you've got time for it, they're not going to be in church when they go to college. They're not going to be in church when they graduate high school and enter the workforce. We've got to show them that this matters, that it changes us, that it is important. The second thing we got to do, we support the testimony of the church by living a godly life. This is like a huge catch-all. And this is what gets us in trouble sometimes, because people have different definitions of what this means. How do you live a godly life? And Christians are famous for this. We'll come up with a list of rules. If you do this, this, and this, then you're godly. If you don't go to the movies and you don't dance, then you're godly. Well, maybe, maybe not, right? I mean, we get into trouble when we create rules that aren't in the Bible. And so what do I mean by this? Look at Philippians 1. Let me help describe what this means. Do we live a life worthy of the gospel? Whatever happens. So there's some discernment here. Whatever situation you find yourself in life, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. And so what we see, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so our testimony, we are known by our testimony, by how we live, by what we say, by what we do. And how do we live a godly life? What would God do, and how would God live, and how would He act if He were here on this earth? Guess what? We have an example. That's what Jesus did. And we can know what God is like because Jesus became one of us. God in the flesh. God came and dwelt here among us. And so when we look at Jesus, His life, we looked at the choices He made. We look at how He served others. We looked at His compassion. We looked at the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, patience, gentle, all those things. We looked at all those things, and what we see is we see a picture of how we're called to live our life. The transformation that takes place in us. And that's what it means to live a godly life. For each one of us, we're learning day by day, moment by moment, what it means to follow Jesus. The spiritual term for that is sanctification. We're being sanctified. We're being made and transformed into the image of Christ. And so as a believer, as we learn and as we grow each week, everything we learn, we should be taking it in and allowing it to transform us to be more like Jesus. As we abide in Christ, John 15, if you abide in me, and you know that whole passage, what it shows is that as we abide in Christ, we are empowered, we learn, we are nourished, we grow because of our connection to God the Father. And so when we get to a book like the book of James, it talks about living a godly life. And what it says is in James is, hey, it's not just what you say, it's not just attending church. How are you living your life? It says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. That's about as plain as it can get. Do what it says. James 2 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? In other words, what's the bare minimum here to get into the kingdom of God? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, hey, be well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by my deeds. And so what we see in that book of James, and James is written by Jesus' half-brother, and what we see here is that there, when true faith is an act of faith. True faith is a faith that saves us and transforms us and compels us to serve others. So are you living a godly life? Or are you serving others? James 2 goes on to say in verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Are you living a godly life? And the final thing is by giving of my time and my resources regularly. That's how you support a local church. Do you give your time, your energy, your effort, your resources, your money? Do you support the church? For many of us, we're selfish. We say, well, I'm busy. I don't have time to do anything. But whatever you have, whatever God has given you, whether it's time, resources, are you using the gifts that He has given you for God's glory and for the good of others? Imagine what the church could do if people all over the world supported the work of God. Imagine what the church could do if they took it seriously. For most people, especially when it comes to finances, they say, well, you know, I have trouble giving, and they'll list off all the reasons. And really what it comes down to is most people are in debt. Most people have, they're living week to week. They haven't saved anything. And what it really shows is that people don't live within their means. That we like our stuff a little too much. And so what giving does, it breaks that materialism. It breaks that greed. It helps us to understand that God comes first. And that our heart goes where our money goes. And so when we do that, when we learn how to give, when we learn how to be extravagant, we learn how to serve others, we learn how to support God's work, what it does, it creates the spirit of generosity. Where it's not about us anymore. It's not about what we can get or what we need or what we want and all this. It's about what we can do for others. 1 Corinthians 16 says this, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. So we see this, it started in the early church, that people set aside money. But it went way before that. You go back to Leviticus. In Leviticus, we see one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the tree, it belongs to the Lord. It must be set apart as holy. This even goes back to, we talked about this when we did the series called A Blessed Life. It goes back before the Mosaic Law, and it goes all the way back to Abram. And we see Abram learn how to tithe and give and support. And I'll just tell you, some churches are filled with tithers, people who give a tenth. And some churches are filled with tippers. So what kind of a church are we? Are we filled with people who just say, God, whoa, that was good this morning. I'm going to give you a little tip. Now, let's see here. Here's a tip this week. And it's kind of based on the service you get from the church. And so if it's been a good week, oh, here's a little money. Is that how we respond to God? Or do we respond to Him to saying, God, You are first in my life. And as a believer, I'm going to support the work God has called this church to do. Proverbs 3 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. It's not just money, it's our time, it's our resources, it's our skill. And we don't give out of guilt, we don't give because we, look, 2 Corinthians talks about that too. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And so what we see here, we see this picture. We see this picture of believers coming together. And I read a statistic this week that said, if people in churches across this country would give, every church in the entire country, they're given, if they tithe, if they gave like they're supposed to, every church in this country, their giving would go up by at least 400%. 400%. Think about the work that could be done. Think about the impact that we could have for the kingdom of God if God's people supported God's work. So all of these things, all that we've talked about over the last 4 weeks have kind of come down to this point. Okay, what do we do? How do we take this next step? And again, I know not everybody is ready for membership, but I hope that many of you are, that you're saying, I understand what God has called this church to do, and I want to be a part of it. If you take out that green brochure that you got when you came in the door, it's got a lot about membership, and it's got everything from our core values, what kind of guides us. It's got the membership covenant, what the elders are saying, what we're committing to do for you guys, and kind of your commitment back to us. It's got the process, what goes through. After this week and just the few papers we get maybe over the next week or two, if somebody comes and wants to be a member of Cornerstone, we're going to ask that they go through a membership class on Sunday nights, and we'll have that 6 times a year. But really what we've done is through this series, we've given you a membership class here on Sunday morning. Hopefully you've learned a little bit more about who we are, about our vision, about our church and where we're going and what God has called us to do. And so when you look at that and when you pray about that and look at that, here's your opportunity. As the church service ends, if you want to fill that out, you can take it over to the table in the cafe and you can take that first step to saying, I want to be a member here at Cornerstone. And we'll contact you, we'll follow up, and we'll take it from there. And we're excited about what God's already done through this first service and what he's going to do through this service. Some of you are saying, I'm not quite ready for that, but I want to get connected to other believers through a life group. And hey, that's great as well. You'll have some opportunities to come to the Discover class, the lunch that we're doing in the future. There'll be some of those opportunities. So you've got more opportunities. If you're here and you're just not quite sure, that's all right. This is no pressure. This is your choice. Do I want to do it? It's not based on anybody else around you. It's each person that's old enough to make that decision for themselves and say, I'm a believer in Christ. I've been baptized as a believer. And I'm on board with what Cornerstone is doing. That's what this is about. I'm going to ask our youth praise team to come back up. We've been so blessed with music here at this church and these guys. And Jennifer and I went to a concert last night. It was over in Christiansburg, and it was a band called Wren Collective. They're a Northern Irish worship band, and it was a shindig, as they called it. It was fun. It was a fun concert. And during that concert, as we were talking, we were enjoying the music, one of the songs they sang, and I've heard it a bunch. It's on the radio. They sing it a lot. And one of the songs was talking about the local church being the hope of the world. And I just started thinking about that, and I'm like, man, we've got to close our service with this. So this morning when these guys got here, I'm like, okay, we got to change the plans here. If you guys can pull this off, we're going to sing this song. They didn't practice it. They didn't have it prepared, but they're awesome. They're just ready to go sing it. The song is called Build Your Kingdom Here. And it's a song about God asking, inviting God, saying, God, we want to represent you. Set us on fire. Let your kingdom be built right here. And that's my prayer for us at Cornerstone. Would we be able to say that? God, start with us. Set us on fire. Give us a mission. Give us a purpose. And help us to leave this place knowing what you've called us to do. This membership is just a way there's nothing magical about it, nothing special about it as far as, you know, it doesn't make you a believer. But what we're doing, we're saying, let's join together. Let's do what God has called us to do. And so I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads with me right now as we close our service. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for this time of worship we've had, for this time of learning from your word. I'm thankful that we can come together to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not forsake the meeting of ourselves together. Lord, I'm just so thankful for these men and women and children and youth that surround us here in this place. It's so exciting to see you at work in each and every life that is here. It starts when we put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to save us. When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. When that happens, we are saved. Our sins are forgiven. We enter the kingdom of heaven. And God, you come and you dwell among us as we are joined to other believers. Lord, I pray this morning that for each person here, that they would know that they are a member of the body, that you have created them for a purpose, that you have a plan for them. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we sing this song, this is a celebration, guys, okay? If you want to get up and go over to the table, I'll have Todd and maybe Randy, a couple of the elders, go over to the table in the cafe. They'll be over there if you want to go over there. If you want to sign up for a life group, you can go over to the resource table. If you want to pray, I'll be in the back. I'll pray with you. Let's all stand up and let's close with a celebration this morning.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Bring this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Have a great week.